My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back. Hour number 2. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits. Everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm really pleased to have my next guest with me. Man, we're just getting into some just really great stuff in the green room. He is the CEO. He is a filmmaker. And his name is Elon. I'm going to try and do this, brother, okay? Yeah. Srulovic.
Yeah, close. Srulovic, yeah.
Srulovic. Okay, Srulovic. Yes, okay. Sir. I tried to make it fancier. I tried to make it more Slavic, I think is what I was trying to do. Okay, Srulovic. Elon, welcome to the program, first of all. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell folks a little bit about your background as a filmmaker and a little bit of what we were talking about, kind of the walk that's gotten you to the place that you are. And then I really do want to expose some of this judicial stuff that's happening that you've investigated and uncovered. But I'd like people to kind of get an understanding of how you came to this place, because I found that to be very fascinating.
Sure. I'm the CEO of the company, Eggard Watch Company. We've been putting out videos about these issues for quite some time. I acted a lot in Hollywood on shows like The Walking Dead. I was on a show called Slasher. I worked with Brad Pitt, all types of Mark Wahlberg. I was in Deepwater Horizon. So I have a big background in that. And then I got into filmmaking as a happenstance of where I ended up with the things we just talked about. So I was a person who grew up without faith. I just didn't really believe in anything. And I do think the end result for anyone who does not have faith in their life is some degree of nihilism, because we need something to worship. We're just designed that way. And so I kind of went on this journey, and a lot of the things I ended up leaning into were negative things because I didn't have God in my life. And so I'm a hyper-rational person. I don't want to believe in something just because it feels good. I want to believe in something because I believe in it fully, and I've hashed it out. And that led me down this road of seeing how society is decaying lately and saying, well, why is it decaying? And the reason it's decaying is because there's no absolute ethic or absolute truth to keep us consistent. We're all allowed to identify as whatever we want, go into our own realities. And then my question was, well, why is that? If the universe is just this chaotic universe, then it would allow that. So what's the thing that would glue us together? What's the thing that would ground us and connect us all and would stop us on a fundamental level from causing harm to one another? And one of the things, or the primary thing, was the idea that every human, just by nature of existing, was created, and because he was created, has value. And so if I see myself as inherently special, right, because I have a soul and I'm created and I'm unique, then I have to see you that way too. Mm-hmm. I can no longer cause you harm once I can see myself that way. So it's infectious. And the only reason that concept can exist, and this was a big realization for me, because the next question is why, right? Why does... if there's an absolute truth, why does that absolute truth exist? And in a material world, that absolute truth cannot exist. It has to exist because there's a creator. So I started leading my life with action before belief, if that makes sense. I started just leaning into the action of, I'm going to live my life as if this is true, whether it's true or not. And I started just investigating more and living my life that way more. And the more you lean into it, the more you do just feel such a deep comfort in it and understanding of it, that I think it is, again, the fundamental glue that holds things together.
It's interesting when you make note that, you know, everyone has value. There's a psalm that talks about that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that your soul knows very well. And in other words, this creator took the time when he made us to put inside of our own minds the revelation that we were, as you said, made, created by something. Something created me. And now I'm on a journey to figure out what created me and how does the fact that I am a created being impact how I'm going to interact with those around me. Because now I have a value. I mean, I have an intrinsic value. You know, I mean, I don't know if you have kids yet or not, but you know, having a child, I'm 6 years out from a car accident where I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to save my daughter's life. And we impacted a truck at 55 miles an hour. I broke 34 bones in my body and I died 4 times. But I did that because my daughter has great value to me. And as a father, I would lay down my life for my children. But I learned that. It's inherent in me, right? Because I have a father who sent his son to lay down his life for me. So I was simply acting out the role model that was created for me by who I believe to be the greatest father of all.
Yeah. And I think if people accept that, then you'll see that kind of sacrifice across the world. You would see, you know, a lot more beautiful action would take place. And the opposite to it, it is truly a binary. And that's the interesting thing. You're either going to believe or you're not. I always tell people there's no such thing as a little bit of belief. You can't have a little bit of belief. And I'm always surprised also by people who say they have faith, but don't lead their life with it. Because if you truly do believe, if it is this thing that is so, there could be nothing more important, then why isn't that the thing that leads your life? Why are you compromising that to everything else? You see it now with everything, with even churches. And this is something that actually bothers me. They're willing to compromise their value system to appease something that has no interest in actually helping you in life. It has no interest in finding any type of agreement with you. It's out to destroy the way you live your life. And you are sitting there compromising it with it by saying, I'll give an inch in the hope that something comes back. Nothing will come back. It is there to take everything from you.
Well, nothing comes back from an abyss, right? I mean, you know, you think about some of these, you know, sci-fi movies, right? I mean, you know, that black hole, folks, there's nothing coming back out of a black hole, okay? Black holes eat and suck the life out of things. They don't ever return life.
Yeah, and that's why I always tell people, do not, just for the sake of being agreeable, compromise your values. I think that's the biggest mistake people can make in society today.
Well, I look at it like this, Elon. You're not helping anybody. It's like if somebody has a drug habit, you don't appease them by giving them a little bit of drug. And say, oh, well, I'm just trying to help you out, man. I'm just trying to help you take the edge off. That is not helping them. Because they're going to take that little bit of edge off from you, but they're going to run down the street and they're going to fiend. They're going to do whatever they can to get the rest of it so that they can get to the place they're trying to get to, which is that black hole.
Yeah. And I would say it's almost like doing it one step further when you compromise your own value system. It's like sitting there and doing drugs with the person in the hopes, just a little bit, in the hopes that they'll stop doing drugs, when in reality, you'll become the drug addict. And again, it's a binary. There's no a little bit of moral relativism. There's no a little bit of denial of absolute truth. You're either denying it or you believe in it. You're either accepting that you believe in moral relativism and that this is all a happenstance of moral relativism. And it is why we see, I think, on a fundamental level, people seeking such identity in the things that are pushed by the, you know, by progressivism. These identity hierarchy kind of structures are designed and developed because they can take away your belief in that fundamental principle that you have value. And if you don't have value, then you will need to create it. And what do you have nowadays? You have kids who feel like they have nothing. They feel like their parents will love them more if they become trans, whatever's, you know, more trendy in the day. They feel like their school will love them more, society will love them more. And because they do not feel loved on a fundamental deep level by something greater than anyone can ever give you, they will seek that out in the world in toxic ways. And that's what we're seeing. And it's a way to control people. The first thing the state has to take away from you to control you is your belief in God.
Right. Well, they have to become that God. I mean, they can't be God, but they have to become that God. You know, that's why when I have conversations with people about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I speak to them about how our founders actually rejected John Locke. And I'll tell you why. Because John Locke had two hands out. He said, in one hand, the government hands you life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. In the other hand, God hands it to you. My argument is no, the founders said that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness were endowed. In other words, when God structurally created us, fearfully and wonderfully made us, he put in us the breath of life, his spirit. Okay, he put in us that pursuit of liberty and that ability to experience true freedom and that desire for life and and godliness and everything we need in order to accomplish that. So that's literally entwined in what and who I am. It's not something that is being held in anybody's hand. It was put in me. And therefore, if you want to take it from me, you're going to have to kill me, because it's who you're it's who I am. It's not something I have that you can just take. You're literally going to have to rip my soul out of my being, and I'm not going to let you.
Well, that is a powerful way to see it.
It makes it worth, I mean, now you can say it about the founders when they said, you know, when you have the famous saying, give me liberty or give me death. Well, why would someone say something like that? Unless they believe that liberty was a part of them, that it was literally it was, you were going to have to kill me in order to get the liberty out of me, because you would be stealing my soul from me.
Yeah, there is no other way to take it.
Yeah.
It's part of your essence.
Yeah. Precisely. And that's why I find what you have discovered so profoundly powerful, because you had an epiphany that, wait a minute, I can't look at myself, look at everything I see, and just think, I do ministry in India weekly over Skype. We planted a bunch of churches. But one of my stories that I share is you have somebody come to your house. And in Indian culture, it's common practice when a guest comes to provide them a meal. And so I described to them a guest coming over, and they spend the time and they put the meal out there. And I kid with them about, you know, you're a good cook, so they're going to like your food, kind of a deal. And then I say, and now they look at you after they've eaten your food and enjoy it. And they look at you and they say, wow, you must have had an explosion in your kitchen and all this food just landed on the plates. And you know, right? It's like, I mean, when you break it down and think about it like that, I mean, that's how illogical the concept is. That makes sense.
It is, absolutely. It's either way. This was something else I realized. Either way, you are choosing to believe in something. The notion that you can, you know, so people live their life and they go, well, you know, that's an absurd premise. I just don't want to believe it. I'm like, well, then what do you believe? They're like, well, I believe science. I'm like, okay, but you're still choosing to believe science. And as much as certain things in science are measurable, there's a lot that is not measurable. There's a lot that we don't understand. Science will never, by most, you know, scientists' own admission, explain abiogenesis. How does life just suddenly burst into existence? How did the universe burst into existence? How did we get from nothing to something? So you're going to choose. These are questions that science has no concept of. How did we get from nothing to something? If you read the papers on it, the gravitational waves, this, that, they don't know. That's on a fundamental reality. They just don't know. Most scientists will admit it. And so there is still an element of faith that the path I am going on is the right path. And I actually think there's a bridge between science and God. I don't think you have to deny science to believe in God. I think they both work in conjunction with each other, especially when you look at the structure of the universe. The universe feels like a programmed place, right? It's why the whole simulated universe thing came up, because there's an element of programming in our universe. It feels created. There are rules in our universe.
Let me throw this at you real quick. This is something I just came across on a TikTok. It's a professor that talks about, you know, Adam and Eve and the argument that, okay, maybe we did come from them. So check this out. Listen to what he has to say. This is kind of cool.
Adam and Eve's story. We can make some predictions. First, if we only started with two people, all the people today should have a low genetic diversity. If we started with millions of people, you can have a lot of genes floating around in a population a million strong. But if you only started with two people, that restricts the diversity today. If the Bible's correct and Adam really is our ancestor, there should only be one male ancestor of humanity. And the mitochondrial DNA, the mtDNA, that's a little piece of DNA that's only inherited from your mother. All people get it from their mother. Well, that means we can build a family tree of all the females in the world, and there should only be one female ancestor of everyone on Earth today. If evolution is true, that shouldn't be true, and none of those have to be true. But also, most genes should come in two versions, because Eve was taken from Adam. She probably got Adam's genome, except for the Y chromosome. But Adam only has two copies of each gene, so you can only have two versions of each gene. Turns out, this is exactly what we have found in modern human genetics.
Huh.
I mean, what's the chance of the Bible being made up and the biblical story actually mirrors what we actually see in human genetics today?
It's amazing.
Totally amazing.
So there you go. And that's why I say, you know, we don't check our brain, right, out. And then, you know, it faith is established. Yes. And there are things we move and operate by faith. But faith is fed by a coal cart. And the more we learn and the more we understand and the more that is revealed, the more our faith is encouraged and built up by truth.
Yes.
By facts.
And it's a gift. I think people don't realize it's a gift. Like, why are you turning away a gift? You look at people with faith. They, on every metric, are better. They live happier lives. They live longer lives. They have better communities. It is a fact that faith gives you something that is very, very special that no other thing in the world can give you. And by the way, it helps preserve what I realize with any relationship in my life is that the burden you carry will never be able to be put on another person and be sustained. But it can be given to God, can be given to something greater than yourself. And so relationships are falling apart at record numbers, I believe, because people are taking all this stuff in life that no other human being can carry for them.
Right.
And they need to put it on that other person because they have nothing else to put it onto. That's why you see people living such unhappy lives, relationships breaking apart, friendships breaking apart. We're giving each other things that we shouldn't be.
We're expecting things from our others that are not their responsibility, nor are they capable of being able to provide for us. The only one that can give us those things is God.
Exactly. You will have to have a relationship with God. It's why I believe it is a relationship.
Yeah.
And one of the things I caught myself doing, which was off to me, because I feel like so there's almost a gift in the fact that I didn't have this growing up, because the discovery of it made me realize how special it is. Whereas I think some people can take it for granted if they have it their whole life. It just becomes part of your daily routine. Oh, I'm going to go to church. Oh, I'm going to talk about this. Or the lighting in here seems to be shifting for whatever reason. But you see people kind of just get so used to the pattern of it that they forget what the actual purpose of it is.
Yeah.
And so because I discovered it later in life, and I had the opposite experience of living. I had the experience of living a somewhat nihilistic viewpoint of the world. One of my obsessions growing up was about death. And so I was always looking for answers. I thought the last place it would lead me to would be God. I thought for sure that's the last place it would lead me to. But because of that, of the fact that I discovered it later, I do see the opposition. I do see the other end of what life is like without it. And to pretend that, you know, life is not better with it would be a massive lie. And I think one of the things that you said that's interesting, and it's something else I feel as well, is that you said you can't get something back from an abyss. And so if we look at the denial of truth, if we look at everything going on in society, it's all counter to basic truth. It's all counter to basic fundamental objective truths or absolute truths. And if you're going to look at the idea of the devil, that's where it would exist. It would exist in the denial of truth. It wouldn't necessarily exist in like obvious evil. It would exist in going against anything that is true. What is true? Man and woman is true. That binary.
Yeah.
What is taken away? Man and woman. What is true? Human life has intrinsic value. What is being taken away? Abortion, babies being killed.
You bet.
So these are direct concepts that are in opposition to truth, which are in opposition to God. It is a direct attack on God. It's why we see these people also go after anyone who believes in these things. Like the government goes after people who are pro-life nowadays. That's literally how the government functions. They send SWAT teams to people's homes who are, you know, have you been following those stories?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The FACE Act. It's absolutely unbelievable. 10 years later, they're kicking doors down in front of kids and coming in with SWAT gear.
And you're going to tell me that's not an attack on God?
Absolutely. 100%. It is absolutely, it is an assault on God. And you know, I've been telling people, I've been doing this show now almost 12 years. I've been telling people for the entire time, look, you can't look at the evil that's happening and not get a 30,000 foot view to get a better understanding of this. Okay, when you get down in the trenches and try to figure out why somebody is behaving in the way that they are behaving, it literally is illogical. It makes no sense at all. Step back to the 30,000 foot view, as you just did, and recognize that this is truly a war between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, oh, wow. It does make sense. Now I see it. And, you know, and I think, you know, you talk about the mistake the church has made, in my humble opinion, is we don't believe that Jesus Christ did enough. We don't preach and talk like Jesus can change someone's life. Mm-hmm. We talk like, well, he's going to come back sometime later and then he's going to change your life. No, he said on the cross, it's finished. Paul has explicitly expressed to us the transformation that we can experience through an encounter with Jesus Christ is here, it's now, it's real. And it is powerful.
So I believe that when you start having faith, you start the journey of that kind of closeness to heaven here. Mm-hmm. And when you deny it, you start experiencing what hell would be like.
Your eyes are open and now you recognize it. You were living in hell the whole time in a sense, but you didn't,
in a very strong sense,
but you didn't realize it. Yeah. But you didn't realize you were living in hell. And that's really kind of when Paul talks about that transition too, of moving from, you know, paganism to the law and then to salvation. To understanding salvation. I'm not saying that someone that is walking in that place of getting, you know, beginning to understand what the law says isn't saved. I'm saying that they're at the place of recognizing, holy smokes, look where I was, because now I can see what all of that looked like. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I believe that the church has missed it, because the good news of the gospel is you can encounter. Jesus Christ began his ministry after he came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit comes down. He goes in the desert. He comes back and he says, now the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. He doesn't say, I'm going to bring it with me the second time around. He doesn't say, hey, I'm hanging out waiting for it to show up. He says, I've got it, I'm bringing it, and we're getting it, and it's here, and it's now, and you can encounter it now. And so when the church gets lost in its compassion of, oh, I'm just trying to be compassionate, and the compromise, it's because they don't believe they have the power to change a life. And I believe they do. But that's just me.
Well, the evidence is proven that, amen, it has the power to change your life.
Amen.
You
know
what I
mean? Yep.
You see it time and time again.
Yeah. Amen. We've run out of time. This has been awesome. I've got your information up on the screen, folks. It's elonsru.com. Elonsru.com is the website to follow Elon Srulevich.
Yeah, or we do now is we do the Eggard podcast on eggardwatches.com. So that's starting to become more popular, and I talk about these things. I'm just going to start putting all my podcasts there on Eggard, E-G-A-R-D, watches.com.
E-G-A-R-B, as in boy?
D like Delta.
Okay.
Watches.com. Yeah, and all our films are on there, and I'm going to put a link to the podcast on there. It's my watch company, but we've been using it for a lot of advertising and stuff like that about these very issues. I think it's important for a company to put out these messages because
amen.
You see the opposite coming out of corporate America. So
no doubt. I have to let you go. Adrian Kubicki, the general counsel for Poland, is waiting for me to jump onto another Zoom with him. This has been such a blessing. Elon, thank you so very much for being with me today. I really hope you'll come back so we can have more conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, I really loved it. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, folks, we're going to take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
Thanks again.
So up next, we have CleanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And CleanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I do hope, folks, that you will follow Elon Srulovic at his EdgarWatch.com, EdgarWatch.com, and I'll get that straightened out, but probably some really great stuff over there. That was a great conversation. Well, I'm very, very excited to have my next guest with me. He is the Consul General for Poland in New York. He's been with us several times. We've got a lot to cover and about 25 minutes to try to get as much of it in as we possibly can. Adrian Kubicki is with me. Adrian, welcome. Good to have you.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you know, we were just talking a little bit in the green room. We've got this thing that took place with the Wagner Group, the Wagner Group, however you want to pronunciate it, and Prigozhin. And everybody thought, oh, this is a big coup, except that Prigozhin and Putin ended up being buddy-buddy about 3 days after the supposed coup. And Prigozhin is, you know, at least seems to have operations operating in Belarus, awfully close to the Polish border. And I had suggested to a couple of guests, and I may even have mentioned it to you, that my read is that they're going to create some means by which to start antagonizing and going after the Polish border. And they've launched artillery that's landed awfully close. What's the sense? What's the read from Poland?
Well, that's a good question about the sense, which no one really understands, as much as no one really understands what is Prigozhin's real role, other than his commercial involvement. Obviously, he runs his army as he runs a company. So obviously, we know that he's making a tons of money on deploying these troops, these soldiers of his, in many important from the Russian standpoint points of conflicts, many places in the world, really. What we know about the Wagner Group is that they are the most brutal. They have complete lack of moral compass. This group consists of imprisoners, people without any moral considerations. So they are deployed where the most dirty job needs to be done. And the deployment of theirs to Belarus, if we look at it as something rather more pessimistic, might be some sort of preparing for opening a new phase of the conflict, opening up a new front, using Belarus to, I don't know, either prepare another phase of invasion of Ukraine or maybe create some disruptions on the Polish-Belarusian border, which is obviously the border with NATO. I said disruption because it still doesn't mean, and we still don't believe that Russia, even counting on a Wagner Group or whoever else, is capable of running any form of traditional invasion against NATO. But obviously they can try to distract us by creating a burden on the Belarusian border. Interestingly enough, Poland already has some sort of experience with these kind of attempts when Belarus itself, probably on a call of Russia, tried to create this disruption, this mess around the border using the Middle Eastern immigrants, illegal migration.
Rushing them across the border. Rushing them across the border.
People were sent to the border trying to push through and enter the territory, which was obviously a burden for many security services and agencies in Poland.
Okay.
But we succeeded in stopping that, responding very firmly. Now, what will happen using this Wagner Group is still a question mark. That comes also in line with other announcements. The one that is most concerning to us, I think, is this supposedly deployment of the nuclear tactical weapons into Belarus.
Thank you. I was actually sitting here getting ready to write down to say, now remind me, because I know there's some pretty serious artillery my understanding is that back channel said that Putin ordered the president of Belarus to deploy those tactical weapons, and he didn't have the guts to do it. And so he has sent Prigozhin there because Prigozhin, as you said, they have no morals. And my understanding is that the order has been given to Prigozhin to deploy those weaponry along that border, irrespective of whether it does injury to Poland, Ukraine, doesn't matter to them.
It might only be a threat, but it's serious having these nuclear tactical weapons near our borders, given also this little bit of lack of balance, since we don't even have a NATO permanent presence of the NATO troops in Poland. So also on our side, this is something that has to be considered by NATO, how now respond to it and how deploy perhaps other forms of security to our region, not even mentioning Poland itself, but other countries of our region.
Sure.
But this is a little bit different subject. Lukashenko's role in this conflict is still not determined. I think he hesitated. He wanted to be a little bit on the side, obviously, try to provide Putin with some soft support, but never allowed himself to get really involved in that conflict. It still remained to see if that Prigozhin group deployment into Belarus, together with these announcements of the tactical nuclear weapons, nothing has been sent to Belarus yet, as far as our intelligence says. So it still might be a propaganda. It might go to realization at any time soon. If this is just coincidence or these two facts have something to do with each other, we will still have to determine that. There is another more positive, I'd say, explanation of all these dynamics, that Belarus agreed basically to create a shelter for the Wagner group, which is still there. There is theory that they might still be prosecuted by Russia or in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And until things settled, perhaps Lukashenko agreed that these people might actually find temporary shelter in Belarus. There is another that's right. somehow different explanation, a little bit more positive.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we know that it was what happened that Saturday when the Prigozhin group was on his way to Moscow with this attempted coup, and all of a sudden decided to drop it. It is a mystery. It doesn't make any sense. There is a high chance that there is something underneath that we still have to learn about.
Well, and in times past, even a hint of that kind of behavior was dealt with under an authoritarian Putin type regime swiftly. I mean, there wasn't even a hesitation as to what would be the consequences of being involved if there were actually a full on coup attempt against Putin. Am I misreading that? Is that, you know, I know I'm a little bit older and come from a little bit older background, but listen, has that changed?
I think that first of all, if they succeeded, it wouldn't necessarily be something positive for the conflict itself. The question is who is really a driver of it. Some people said that it could have been the one step towards ending the conflict if somehow Putin was taken down as a result of this coup. But they could also be, we know that Putin is also surrounded by people who even think that they should go farther in this invasion of Ukraine.
Right.
So again, the end result is really not determined. But I start to think that perhaps the reality is that it really doesn't make sense even for Putin, and that he's so much cornered that he's making decisions, rapidly and without any strategy, really, because what is left for Russia, since they used to pretty much all their resources and they are really struggling. So perhaps there was no sense actually in that, and that's also a very potential and real strategy for that. But it was something. It was something, and we have to still observe, monitor, and also read carefully to this propaganda to see if there is some hidden sense.
Your read with regards to Putin at this point, there's still, and we talked a little bit about this before, but it keeps coming up, so I feel like it keeps needing an answer. That Putin is some kind of great Christian crusader, and that the Russian Orthodox Church is battling the, you know, the rest of the evil world globalists, NATO being part of that, and he's the virtuous one in all of this. How do you respond, or how does Poland address that? Because that is part of the propaganda that's going on here.
Well, first of all, the Russian Orthodox Church, Moscow Orthodox Church, that is completely surrendered to Putin, has become a puppet in his hand, and they used the pretty much the entire time of Putin administration. On the contrary to the communist time, Soviet times, the Soviets were trying to fight the church and fight the faith. It wasn't very successful because faith is always something that is way more powerful than any of the powers on earth. So Putin learned from these mistakes, started to deploy very early a different strategy to actually buy off the Orthodox Church, to create an arm that will help him actually implementing this propaganda. And up to now, and we see that role very clearly right now, that the Moscow Orthodox Church is playing that exact role. I don't know how they explain it to their believers, the role of church, but I don't quite see that the way you described this, rather as Putin was the somehow the tool for the church to run some mission globally. But I think it's completely the other way around. The church, the Orthodox Church in Russia, is subjugated to Putin, and Putin is using the church and the leadership of the church, obviously.
Is Putin, in your opinion, a virtuous Christian crusader?
As far as I know, and I am Christian and I am Catholic, what he's doing has nothing to do with Christianity or any of the Catholic Orthodox or unorthodox values.
Okay. All right. I agree with you. I just was curious how that was viewed over, you know, in your part of the world. Let's shift to Zelensky for just a minute. And there's been a lot of criticism of Zelensky and continued concerns about possible corruption in Ukraine. And of course, now we have a number, and I don't know how far we can go with it, but there's a lot of corruption being exposed within, you know, the American government structure as well, and connectivity with this president and his son and others and Ukraine. In fact, that's one of the investigations that appears to be ongoing, is his influence regarding stopping investigations into corruption in Ukraine that preceded, by the way, Zelensky took over. But what is your sense of Mr. Zelensky in relationship to this, and how does he navigate what appear to me to be a variety of different kind of minds?
I really don't think that we can determine that during the situation of war. And I say that this is a very delicate issue because it can easily be exaggerated by Russian propaganda against Zelensky. And I think Ukraine faces the fade out of the interest and softening of the interest in the war. And this is a huge threat to this entire concept of supporting Ukraine and pushing back Russia. It plays directly into the hands of Russians. So we have to be very careful, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't obviously explore those avenues of those potential allegations. I think it's up to every nation to really judge and decide how far they want to go in investigating, obviously, all these matters. Public opinion has a right to know, and this is beyond any questions. These questions can be asked and can be raised, and they are very valid. And I hope that, in my private opinion, I think that the finding the real answers very quickly would help. But as I said, this is a very delicate matter. And whatever comes out of these investigations, it shouldn't really come in between the help that is needed to be provided to Ukraine. Because, again, we have no other choice. We have to support Ukraine, even if some flaws or mistakes or even more serious issues would be discovered. I don't know if that answers your question.
No. I think it does. And let me follow up to that, because I think that kind of enters well to my next question, which has to do then, you know, you mentioned earlier in the conversation that there is some concern about what is happening with the buildup and those potential deployments of small nuclear arms, tactical nuclear arms, out of Belarus. Obviously, Poland is a member of NATO. At what point should NATO be considering some kind of a buildup within Poland to be prepared? Because, you know, I mean, if they launch something and NATO is 2 weeks away from being ready to respond to that, by the time they respond, you're playing a severe game of catch up in a tactical war situation. So where are we in that respect, do you think?
Right. So first of all, we're pretty much covered. NATO has invested a lot in increasing this amount of equipment and quality of this security of the region. But there is something else that is a little bit more bothering. For many years already, the answer why we cannot have the permanent presence of NATO troops, while, for instance, Germany has the permanent presence, which is not the bordering country of NATO. So from many different standpoints, it doesn't make sense to have them in Germany while not having them where the actual border of NATO is.
Okay.
But the answer for that was for years that we don't want to really make Russia angry, and this is against this kind of trying to
appease,
get along with Russia, yes, or even maybe incorporate Russia into the Western standards at some point. And we were very patient about this strategy for a while, understanding that, well, this is the majority decision. But right now, since we know the real Russian objectives, and we were right, Poland was right, there is no other reason why we shouldn't move forward with this deployment of permanent presence of the NATO troops in Poland. Mm-hmm. And now you see the Russia doesn't hesitate to create this threat. And we're not even talking in NATO about the deploying nuclear tactical weapons in Poland. Putin is doing just that. He announces that he's putting that threat directly on the border with NATO. And what is the NATO response? Are we still in this position that we still don't want to make them angry? I don't really think this makes more that it still makes sense.
Right.
So from that perspective, I think NATO should really drop the strategy and decides, okay, we have to do what's best for the security of NATO. Because, again, it's not only about the Poland itself, but it's something larger in stakes, but also how we look in front of the Putin in his eyes. Are we strong enough to respond equally? He doesn't hesitate, we hesitate. Why? There is a certain lack of balance. And I think this is something we're discussing right now.
And then that leads to the question too, because then you have the side that you know talks about, well, then those that are pushing for that are warmongers, and they just want to have a battle and they just want to create a war, and that somehow there's a magic bullet or a silver bullet that could be inserted right now that would suddenly make Putin stop doing all of this. Do you believe that's the case? President Trump has talked about that if he was in charge, Putin wouldn't be doing all this. He'd sit down with him and he'd put an end to it. What magic bullet could be pulled out right now by whoever, whether it's Trump or somebody else? I mean, in my mind, if Trump can pull a silver bullet out and stop this thing now, then there's got to be somebody else on the stage right now that could go do the same thing. In my opinion, I realize that that Trump would be carrying the weight of the United States, but even still, there's got to be something that can be done. What's that silver bullet? Couple of minutes left.
What is the objection that we try to achieve? If we want to put a stop on it, I guess you're right that there are forces that can sit Putin and Zelensky on one table and talk as long as they need to come up with the agreement. This is possible, but I don't think this is the end of the story. Long term, it's only buying a time until Russia attempts another invasion or whatever. And any form of compromise that Ukraine is pushed into or gives to Russia, I don't know, certain amount of territory, is not a real agreement and not a real end of the conflict. So again, I understand that the global opinion is rather exhausted by this conflict, and we would love to see it coming to an end. And I understand that also the cost of it is acceptable, even higher than when this war started
right
for Ukraine. But this is not a real solution. So we will keep advocating on actually supporting Ukraine for as long as we really exhaust Russia to the very end of it and put the final stop on Russia ambitious.
And ultimately, that becomes the issue. The real bottom line issue here is that you have an empire builder who is determined to build an empire.
I guess the bottom line is not very positive, that this is nothing that we can solve within a days, weeks, or even months. This is something that will take a while. But if we persistent on continuing this strategy and not giving up on Ukraine and on supporting Ukraine,
right,
we might gain a big win, not just a little temporary win.
Hear, hear. All right. Adrian Kubicki, Consul General for Poland in New York. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for
speaking with us and answering these just critically, I believe at this point in history, critically important questions that need to be asked and discussed and brought forward to the public to try to help them understand.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. All right, folks, we are going to take our break. We will be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break. Get more at the website, chosengenerationradio.com, and you'll be able to replay and listen to this interview. The interview we did with Elon as well will be in the same hour, and I think it's a very powerful hour. I hope that you will take the time to give it a listen. We'll be back with more coming up right after this brief break. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.